So we have, from the last class, we talked about the command to share and spread the gospel. And we looked at some verses that were clear about that, like Mark 16, when Jesus said to them, "Go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation." So last class, we looked at the command we have as Christians, and then we looked at our proper response to the command that has been given. And I took a survey from the church, and we know what prevents us from sharing the gospel, that's fear. But I wanted to know from you and my own self, what are we afraid of? What prevents us from sharing the gospel? And your survey was very clear. There was hundreds of people who replied to it. And the first one was fear of rejection. So the most common reason we don't share the gospel is a fear of rejection. So what we did was we looked at the Bible verses that would speak to that. And if you so desire, this class is on the website that we taught last year, and I encourage you to listen to it if you have the time. And we looked at some specific verses that talk about how to overcome the fear of rejection. You know, if we're rejected, it's to be expected. We're confronting the world about their sin. And you might remember the times when you first heard the gospel. Sometimes you may have to hear it many times until the Lord does that work in your heart to believe it. And the second one we looked at was the fear of being mocked. So your second reason or most common reason we don't share the gospel, what we fear is being mocked. And we looked at some Bible verses that remind us that we are going to be mocked. It's a promise. "Blessed are you while others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you." They're going to do that the more faithful we are with the gospel. That is going to happen. And then third reason, top three, was fear of not knowing what to say. And we looked at some Bible verses, of course, of what to say, why not to be afraid to do it. The Lord does provide for us the words to say in these moments. And our job, we can't save anybody. So the pressure really is on us to do it so well. We're studying, or we're just coming through the end of the book of Jonah in youth group. And as we went through it, we were reminded that Jonah wasn't responsive, right, to God's call straight away. He actually went the other way. And sometimes I feel like that's what we do. I go the other way when God is calling me to go where he's asking me to go. And the other thing you can learn from that is, how was Jonah's gospel presentation when he went to Nineveh? He was like, "You're going to die." That was his gospel presentation. So if you think, and the largest amount ever recorded in history of persons being saved was in Nineveh. And his gospel was pretty much not clear. So we want to be mindful that God is the one who does this work. We don't have to be perfect with it, but yet we're called to do it. We're all commanded to, we're sent. So we looked at the verses that help us along with that, and I put them on your outline there. If you don't have it, grab one on the way out. And then we considered the blessing of our faithfulness to the Lord in sharing the gospel and being faithful with what's been entrusted with us. And we looked at Romans 10, where he said, "How beautiful are the feet," Paul says this, "of those who preach the good news." See, it's a blessed thing to be an ambassador for God, to be used for him and by him. And as we look at this, as we start today's lesson, that was a little recap from last time, we all want to share our faith. We all want to see people come to know and love Christ. God has planted that desire in our hearts when he saved us. When he saved us, he appointed us to be his ambassadors. He's entrusted to his ambassador, his people, the message of the gospel. And we get that from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 through 20. When God reconciled us to himself, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He entrusted to us as ambassadors the message of the gospel. And we, Christian, are called to be faithful with the message. And I would believe that all here understand the command. I believe it's clear. And even though we do know the command, for many of us, getting that conversation started isn't easy. Especially when you're talking about family and friends, coworkers, and we're going to talk about those who are, I just label them one-offs, people we're never going to see again. So we always want to try and get to that question, right? We're engaging people, and I'm like, how do I get to the question? I want to ask them, like, if they were going to die today, where would you go? Like, you have this thought that you want to get to the pressing question of getting them to consider their eternal soul. And that's great. That's what we want to do. We want to get them to understand who we are before Christ. We're sinners. And we want to get them to understand that Christ is the solution. He's the remedy for our struggle, for our sin. And when I was presenting or preparing for this, I wanted to look at how do the great ones open doors for the gospel conversation. And you can go in myriads of places. You can Google great evangelists who can open doors for the gospel. You can read many books, many things you could be doing. But I was brought to someone who had indexed the 300 questions that Jesus asked. We have 300 questions in Scripture from the Lord. Some of them are duplicates because of the synoptics, but they're actually really great to walk through and look at how Jesus asked questions. Over and over again, he asked them questions. And some of them are designed to get them to talk more. Some of them are to get them to consider their position, where they are right now. They're a sinner in need. And sometimes it's to make himself known. He would ask questions like, who do they say that I am? And then he would go on and say, well, who do you say that I am? So my hope this morning is that we can look at some questions of how we can open conversations for the purpose of leading to gospel ministry. I think we can all open up doors for conversation when we're on the beach and season or seed the conversation with, isn't it an amazing day? Do you ever think how God created that sun and what he gives to us through the sun? And that's great. That's maybe a way in the door. But we're not bringing them to saving faith because we point them to God's creation. We're bringing them to... We can bring them by God's grace to saving faith when they point them to who Christ is and what he has done. So we have to get from here to here, and I guess that's kind of where we're going. I want us to consider some ways that we can open good gospel conversations that don't just start and end there, but actually continue on. And I don't think there's an actual, like, just straight up way, here's how you do it. I think the circumstances are different depending on who you're speaking to. And I have three outlines there, just something I want to remind us of, prayer. As we consider the privilege to be ambassadors, prayer is so important. James 5, the prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working. Ask the Lord to open these gospel conversations and that he might give us the words and be willing to be patient when we're investing time with people sharing. Psalm 19, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. When Jesus was going about the towns and healing, he said something in Matthew 9. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Prayer is an essential part of being prepared for sharing the gospel. The second point I was thinking I wanted us to point out to was light. We are lights in the world for those that are lost. And let our life be worthy of the gospel. I take that from the Philippians verse I have on your notes there. And it is very likely when we're living our lives for the gospel, we're living them for Christ, it becomes evident to the world that we're different. Now, we certainly don't live in a way to be seen. That's a check our heart. We're living in a way that honors Christ, and you will be seen. I may have shared this with you one time before, and forgive me if I did. We were in Long Beach Island maybe 10 years ago, maybe 12, and we go to Harvey Cedars for homeschool week there, and one day we go off on our own and have lunch. And we're sitting down in a diner, and Olivia says, "Daddy, can I pray for the meal?" She's probably 8 or 10. I'm like, "Sure, honey, you know." So sweet Olivia bows her head, and she says just the sweetest little prayer. "Thank you, Lord, that we can have a great meal. Thank you that we can be here in Harvey Cedars and just bless our time." It was something very simple like that. Well, our food is there now, and a lady gets up and comes over to us and says, "Where are you people from?" Now, my normal answer is, "My mother." But she said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "I don't know what do you mean? I'm from New Jersey." She goes, "People in New Jersey don't pray over their food." I'm like, "Well, this family does." And that led to a 30-minute conversation with this woman about her deep struggle before we ate. We were leaving the diner, and she's in the parking lot. And we had another half hour, gospel, full, rich conversation with her. Seemingly divided from her family, her kids haven't had a conversation with her child for years. And by this point, you know, my kid's like, "Oh, Dad, are we going to the beach?" But the Lord opened a door, not because we weren't doing that to be seen. And later on that night, we go out, you know, a few days later, we said, "Let's pray." And Livy goes, "Daddy, can I pray?" I'm like, "Okay." And she goes, "All right, Lord, thank you for the meal." And she was praying. She was thankful for the meal, but she was doing it to be seen, and the Lord didn't bless that time. One of the things we've done in our past when to open up a gospel conversation while you're blessed to be out with a meal is to ask your server a question. And one of the things is we'd say, "We're about to pray," as they bring the food, "we're about to pray for our meal and give thanks to the Lord for it. Cindy, how can we pray for you?" Open-ended. How can we pray for you? That's a key to it, being open-ended with our questions. Even if that person says no, leave her a sweet tip and write a gospel, write something from the scriptures on her receipt there. Leave her a tract. Do something that would plant more seeds as you were trying to be faithful. One mom shared with me as I was sending out some texts this week, and she said one of the times that people came to her and they said, "Your kids are so polite. What's different about your kids? They just seem so nice and polite." And that's not the moment to say, "Well, their father will take them out to the woodshed." That was last week. But it's an opportunity to point them to Christ. Thank you. It was an opportunity to point them to Christ and say something like, "The Lord has done a great work in my family." And she typically says, "And I'm thankful to my church's youth group that surrounds them and points them to Christ." She took that opportunity, and then that's not the end of it. That's where the gospel conversation gets going. That's where you say, "Well, by the way, do you have children? Do you have a church? Do you have faith? What do you believe?" That goes on from there. So the Lord opens those doors up. And the other one is purposeful. The third point was purposeful. Before we even get going, let your speech be seasoned, be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person, Colossians 4. The words we speak should reflect to others how the gospel has transformed our heart. It should be evident to them. I have been convicted many times, maybe you have as well, of wasteful conversations with people we love that we want them to hear the gospel. I get in my car and I leave and I'm going, "Oh, I didn't, you know." And I trust the Lord, I pray about it, but I'm greatly convicted about those times. I shared recently with the youth group guys that as a Christian, the most difficult thing I can say that I've dealt with was the loss of my brother. 28 years old, just like that, died. I never shared the gospel with my brother. That was brutal. And I'm thankful for the men in this church who came around me at that time. In this book that I was reading, Living Out Loud by Kevin King, he's one of our missionaries. I really appreciated running through this quickly this week. And he talks about living out loud, meaning it's a Shema life taken from Deuteronomy 6, the great command. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorpost of your house and on your gates. See, Christian, we as believers in Christ should be putting that in all of our ways of all, wherever we go, the gospel should be evident and our word should be seasoned with that so that we might open, that he might open doors for the gospel. Our word should speak about our trust and our reliance upon God, seasoned with grace and salt. Basically, it's an overflow of our heart. And Kevin talks about using Shema statements, where you might say, he convicts you to say, you might be talking to your friends and say, you know, I'm thinking about changing my job. Not really sure if it's the right time, but I'm thinking of changing my job. And then you go to your brothers and sisters in Christ, and what do you say? I'm praying about a job change. See, you're talking one way to one set of people in your life and to another way. So when you're engaging people, I think the easiest thing to do is to probably get in an argument about politics. Now, I can tell you this, that I have grown in this area by God's grace. I am done arguing politics and social issues of the day, thinking I can, A, win it, and then, B, thinking somehow I'm going to have a gospel opportunity after I just argued with them. That's an area. But yet, the current events of the day open up many doors, right? Even the unbeliever looks around right now in this world and goes, this place is crazy. Something's going on. So there's one way we can do it. We can talk about these things when they come up. And I put a couple in there. Why do you think this world is just so crazy? People have a lot of opinions. What do you see as the fix for this problem? Especially the problems our kids face. You can ask these questions. People will have opinions on them. How do you think the next election cycle is going to fix things? You ask these questions, you get responses. When you get the responses, do you know that the Bible actually tells us how and when things went wrong? Now you're talking to them about Genesis 3, and you can talk to them about the fall, when it happened, and how it happened, and where do you go from there? What's the remedy? It's Christ, the Savior. So we have broken it out into a few topics, or two groups, three groups. Family and friends is one, coworkers is another, and one-offs is another. And in each conversation, the goal for us is gospel. We can open up questions, but we want to get there. And I'm reminded when we looked at it, Jesus always said who, what, when, where, why. That's how we open up questions, open-ended questions, not either-or questions. Sounds very simple. You get in the car and you go to the family. You say to the family, where do you guys want to go to dinner? And you're never getting to dinner because the conversation goes on because of the way you ask the question. This is what the who, what, when, where is intended to do. But if you get in the car and you actually are hungry and you want to eat, you're saying, do you want to go to Domino's or do you want to go to Jersey Mike's? You're going to give them an either or and it kind of make a decision to move on. So we keep our questions open-ended. So let's talk about family. When we're talking about family, we want to be intentional. We know there are struggles in our families because there are families. We know what's going on. You've heard the acronym FAT, Faithful, Available, and Teachable. This is when I want us to consider being FAP, Faithful, Available, and Present. When we see struggles in people's lives, be there. Ask questions of who's struggling and how they're struggling. When you see someone struggling, your questions might be, how are you dealing with this recent news, the recent diagnosis? How is Jim dealing with it? Are you able to find peace in this? And how are you doing that? Things like those open-ended questions. The available is to go to people in need. Does Christ not do that? Do we not see Christ going to people all the time in need? That's what we're to do. When we see someone in struggle, our heart should be moved to them. The faithful. I can think of so many ways all of you are faithful, over and over again. With my sister Karen, for instance, she came to faith about 5 years ago. It was faithfulness of people in this church. She lives in Rochester. Tom Westervelt was making CDs for me of the sermons, and I kept sending them to her, and I was seating her, and I was going, Karen, I thought of you when I listened to Pastor Craig preach this. I thought of you when Pastor Randy taught on this. Little by little, I was faithful and praying. My sister is a baptized believer in Christ serving in a church. I mentioned the man in the middle of the cross. This is fantastic. The man in the middle cross here. Alistair talks about three specific situations or stories in the Bible that point back to Christ. I've handed this out, and people are coming back to it and going, I want to know the rest of it. It opens up doors. He's talking about the man on the middle cross. He's talking about the man on the side of Christ who at the very last minute gave his life to the Lord. He's talking about the woman at the well. He's talking about healing the paralytic. There's three stories. And in the back, they can click on and get sermons by him. They can get a clear gospel presentation from him. I love this book, and I encourage you guys to try it. I gave it out to somebody in the dealership, and about 3 weeks later, I'm going through the service area, waiting area, and there's a little girl reading the book. I'm like, whoa, how did you get that book? So the salesman just left it out there after he read it. And I went to her mother, who was sitting there. I said, that's a great book. You should read that with your daughter. So I just planted some seeds there about that. So one thing to keep in mind is, Diana's going to love this. When you're asking questions, she's not here, you have to be a good listener. So when you're asking these people questions, be a good listener. Even take notes so you can respond and you can come back at another time and be praying for those. So some purposeful questions. We have a couple minutes left. How are you dealing with the diagnosis? Let me skip down. What can I do to be a blessing to you while you're going through this? You see how you're opening this up? You're making yourself available. Can I share something I learned with you today? Who doesn't, like, no, I'd rather not hear. Some just general questions to open up things that might lead us open-ended questions. Coworkers, and I would love to get to the microphone. I have Shay here ready to run with the microphone and chase. Coworkers, what did your family do this weekend? Ask them. Be interested in what they're doing. More than likely, in a few minutes, they're going to say, well, what did you do this weekend? That's what you're hoping for. How do you make decisions in your life? Coworkers, you're talking to them. Ever think about what the ultimate purpose of life is? You're here working with me 50, 60 hours a week. Ever think about what the purpose of life is? You can open up basic conversations about it. And then there's the one-offs. These are the people that, this is the easiest to me. So you're looking for things that are in common around you. If you're at the beach, you might talk about God's creation. If you're walking in the mall, you can look at something they're wearing and start a conversation. Crosses are like a layup. Someone's got a cross on, they will talk about their cross. I love your, where did you get that? What's it mean to you? How did you find that? They will talk about their cross. And then you can then talk about the cross. Why does your cross have Christ on it? Well, I see a lot of crosses, there's no Christ on it. You ever think about that? You can start these conversations with jewelry. If I see a young guy like Shay, and he's walking towards me, and he's got a Def Leppard shirt on, I'm like, dude, you weren't even born. How do you even know who Def Leppard is? And knowing Shay, he's going to say, my dad told me about Def Leppard. Your dad's a rocker. I love your dad. What other music does he like? I am going to get to the gospel because he's going to talk about something that matters to him. People will usually talk about themselves. People will talk about where they live, where they work, how they play. If you can find out how someone plays, you can get to the gospel really quickly. If they have a fishing pole rack on their truck, you're a fisherman. What do you like to catch? Do you catch? Because I'm not a fisherman. I'm not a catcherman. I just fish. But the Lord has made me a fisher of men. You can get to the gospel with anything if you're just patient and get them to talk. Diane and I met this young man who was showing us a car, believe it or not, and he kept talking about how good he was trying to be. I'm trying to be a good dad and a good husband and a good employer to my employees. And I finally just said to him, how do you define good? What is good? Well, I just try and do the right thing. And he's trying to make sense of what is good. And I said, where did you get this morality that you're seeking? Because it's a good thing. Where did you get it? And he says, oh, it was my grandmother. And I said, is your grandmother a woman of faith? And we got talking. We had a 20-minute gospel conversation in the parking lot. This brother was it was almost like Diane was kicking me under the table. It was almost like a lob. It just kept coming. So, eyes wide open. Be alert. Look for ways to open gospel conversations. We have like 1 minute, don't we? Do we have like 1 minute? That clock's fast. Okay. Shay, Chase, real quick. Hustle, guys, hustle. Make sure they're on. Hustle. All right. One person on how we can have a gospel conversation with family. One person. Excellent. Go.
So we're in the middle of a family reunion weekend right now, so it's very applicable. This afternoon, they're actually coming to our house. Yesterday, though, my cousin, we've seen him maybe once a year, Native American spiritualistic, and said she would like to do an art project with our kids, building a spirit ladder out of sticks and whatnot. Initial instinct, cut this off right away.
Sure.
And then slowly, and use discernment in that situation. There could be opportunities where you have to say no. But in that moment, I was like, wait, this could be a bridge. And Cadence, with her heart, immediately goes, I thought of Jacob's ladder. Maybe I can get that in the conversation, in the picture of God and how he interacts with us here on earth. And similarly, my other cousin, looking for another conversation, he's seen my kids, he has two younger ones, he sees their hearts and he's questioning, what's different about them? So I guess it would just be intentional and seeing that opportunity.
But, okay, so I got a comment on that. We can learn a lot from that. First off, it was an overflow of her heart. There was verses in her mind from Scripture. That doesn't happen unless we're faithful to be poring over the Scriptures, to be studying, meditating, and praying over the Scriptures. That's just not going to happen. So we have that duty to be, and the privilege to be continuing on and growing in the knowledge of the Lord and what the Scriptures teach us. All right, coworkers, someone over here. Coworkers. One question opening doors for coworkers. Paul, run. Someone over here, someone you've never met, be thinking about something.
So just a little something to share. It was Ash Wednesday, and I was walking into work, and our receptionist was looking down, didn't even look at me yet, but she said, oh, are you getting your ashes today? And she looked up, she said, oh, I thought you were such and such. I said, no, I don't do ashes. I said, but I'd like to talk to you about that. And I knew that, not every day, but occasionally she'll take, at break time, she'll take a walk around the building. I said, how about taking a walk today? Would you like to talk about that? And it was just open up the door, great gospel opportunity, shared the gospel in really in its entirety. and learned that she had been her father as a girl had taken her to a Bible believing church, and some continued to pray for her and to share with her and ask that the Lord would draw her to Him.
We've had similar conversations in Marcia right behind you. We have similar conversations around Lent at my job. Everybody gives up everything, you know, and the guy will say, "Oh, I'm not having coffee. Not having coffee." I say, "Oh, okay, good. Does the Lord love you more because you're giving up coffee? Like, is the coffee offending God in some way? And then if it is an offense to God in any way, why would you go back to it?" Like, I just keep having these conversations with them because the same thing happens at my job. Before Marcia talks, there's one, maybe I'm going to take it from you. The one thing, if you're one off and you're seeing somebody, it's this time of year, tattoos. Someone will always talk to you about their tat, right? What is that? Where did you get that? They will talk to you for an hour. "Dude, check out this one. You're going to get more information about a tattoo. And then I love the one where you get, and it's just like a black stripe. I'm like, "What happened?" "She left me." You have to take her name off. So go, Marcia.
That was one of them. But the other is, Bob and I tend to have a hospital ministry. He goes to the hospital, and then we have an opportunity, a gospel opportunity, to talk to the people who are there. We can talk to them about the great physician. But the goal is you take anything in the natural, and you, over a few questions, take it to the supernatural. As Pastor JT said, be interested in them. Notice them. People love to be noticed, and then they love to be engaged about themselves. They are their favorite topic of conversation. Trust us on this. And the more you ask them questions, the more they open up. And then they'll start to ask you questions. But we've done that many times while Bob's been in the hospital. Lots of CNAs come in. Bob's talked to them about, you know, "You're a physician. You necessarily can't heal me, but the great physician, he can." So it's always pointing to Christ.
Some people are able to get right to the gospel in like mock speed, you know? And if you know Bob and someone's driving him to the hospital in the ambulance, they're like, get him comfortable. "Like, you know who Jesus is? Do you know I'm a sinner saved by God's grace? What do you think of when I say the name Jesus?" That's a question he gave me. "What do you think of when I say the name Jesus?" That's a great question. The one-offs to me are the most fun and easy to go, but we want to reach our family. And be praying continually about how we can reach our loved ones and continue to be a blessing to them when they're in need. I saw one thing where a guy was saying, if your neighbor is raking leaves, what do? Bring your rake over. But make sure your lawn doesn't have any leaves. Because he's like, why are you here when your yard looks like that? So if you're going to help somebody with leaves, like, maybe do your own first. But there's always opportunities, and be faithful, looking for them, being in prayer, and asking the Lord to open these doors, and then asking the Lord to give you the words to say that would bring Him the most glory. That's what we want to do. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess to You, Lord, the times that we have not responded in the right way that You call us to. Lord, thank You that we can consider these things this morning, and as we look through these many questions, Lord, would You call them to our mind? Would You give us the words to say when we engage our friends, our family, our coworkers, and people that You put in our path, because You are sovereignly doing that. Allow us to see that You are the one who puts the sinners in need in our path, that they might hear the gospel or hear seeds of the gospel, and that one day You would bring that gospel to life in their heart, and You would save them and use them for Your glory. Lord, thank You, and be with us for the second service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.